Speedway Report is produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. Now, NBC does a good job with auto racing coverage, but I don't get what they just did over the weekend. Ryan Preece and Teddy Christopher show that modified drivers are a special cut, and two big sprint car weeks in the Midwest have me looking to July of 2018. Well, all this and more coming up. Welcome to Speedway Report for Monday, July 17th, 2017. We are live from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina. I'm Patrick Reynolds, and thank you for joining the fastest half hour in racing on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. From the North Myrtle Beach ZRN Studios, producer Jeff Gilder is giving us four tires and fuel for our run to the checkered flag at the top of the hour. Let's dive right into the Speedway Report victory lane lap, give you the results of a busy, hot summer weekend. The Monster Energy NASCAR Cup Series raced at the Magic Mile in Loudoun, New Hampshire. Checkered flag finally being waved last night. Denny Hamlin was your winner of the 301-lap main event. The Xfinity cars went 200 laps around Loudoun, New Hampshire on Saturday. Kyle Busch was your winner there. I know, sit down. Kyle Busch won an Xfinity Series race. Calm down. It'll be okay. NASCAR's Whelen Modified Tour also graced the mile at Loudoun, New Hampshire twice. On Friday's All-Star race for non-points tour race, Ryan Preece took the checkered flag. Saturday's Championship 100 was won by Bobby Santos. And NASCAR's K&N Pro Series East Tour also raced up in New Hampshire. Todd Gilliland won another race on the tour there. IndyCars were north of the border on the streets of Toronto, where Tennessee's Joseph Newgarden won for the captain, Roger Penske. In Formula One, Lewis Hamilton won his fifth British Grand Prix. That tied Jimmy Clark and Alain Prost in the record books. In the here and now, in 2017, Hamilton cut Sebastian Vettel's world championship lead to just 1 point after Vettel came home in seventh. And unfortunately, our hometown American Haas cars were 12th and 13th yesterday. They did not score any world championship points. Hopping on over to the dirt, lots to talk about this week. Let's start with the Lucas Oil late models. They raced last Friday night in Granite City, Illinois, where Kid Rocket Josh Richards took the checkered flag. On Saturday, the tour moved over to Wheatland, Missouri. Well, Richards liked winning so much Friday night, he did it again on Saturday night. Got out the broom and swept the Lucas Oil weekend. Now, their cousins, the World of Outlaw late models, ran Thursday night in the Great White North in Hebing, Minnesota. Brandon Shepard was your winner. Friday night in Grand Forks, North Dakota, Shane Clanton took the checkered flag there. The World of Outlaw sprint cars. This is one of the sprint car weeks I was talking about. I looked at this schedule. Yeah, I might need a road trip here next year possibly for this. Let me talk to you about it. Tuesday night, one night after we got off the air last week, the tour ran in, where were they? Attica, Ohio. Thank you. For the Brad Doty Classic, Connecticut native David Gravel won there. Then they moved over to the Eldora Speedway in Rossburg, Ohio for three straight nights. They began Thursday night with the Joker's Wild, which was won by Kerry Madsen. Friday night, they ran the night before the King's Royal, which was taken by Christopher Bell. Big show on Saturday night, the annual King's Royal. Donnie Schatz became the first ever back-to-back winner of the 50,000 to win race. Never realized that before, that no driver had won two in a row, or, you know, back-to-back, year-to-year with the King's Royal. Never been done until this past Saturday night, which is where Schatz won it. I'm looking at the schedule there. Tuesday night in Attica, Ohio, and then Thursday, Friday, Saturday in Eldora. Gives you a little wiggle room for some travel and some rain. Next summer I might need to dip into the Racers Reunion travel budget and head out west and a little north of here. The USAC Sprints also had, you know, a similar format with the annual running of Indiana Sprint Week. How cool is this? So I know some guys that filled in the gaps here by hopping back and forth between Indiana and Ohio. Not a bad deal if you want to watch some open-wheel sprint cars all week. Monday night, the race to Gas City, USAC did, as C.J. Leary was your winner there. On Wednesday night, Terre Haute was rained out and canceled. Thursday night's show in Putnamville was also rained out, and that was postponed until last night. Friday, they got back into action in Bloomington. Kevin Thomas Jr. was your winner. Saturday in Hobstadt, Kyle Cummins won. And last night in Putnamville, Robert Ballou took the checkered flags. The annual Indiana Sprint Week champion for 2017 is Kevin Thomas Jr. Big deal with these sprint weeks and midget weeks that USAC holds every year. Pennsylvania has a sprint week. Ohio has a sprint week. World of Outlaws just had this great week. Yeah, I need to take a summer road trip next season. Up in the dirt in Grandview, Pennsylvania, the small block modifieds ran double features. They had a rained out show in June that they needed to make up. Jared Umbenhauer took the checkered flag there. The regularly scheduled Saturday night small block main was won by Doug Manmiller. Up the road from us at the Madhouse, the Bowman Gray Stadium in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, Burt Myers won the 100-lap NASCAR modified feature. It's only, mid-July here? Myers is looking pretty good for the championship at the Bowman Gray Stadium. Haven't done the math yet. We're in mid-July. I know he's been up front and winning week after week. The other guys, the contenders, Danny Bowen, Tim Brown, they're some weeks not too well. Other weeks, the results and the luck results just aren't there for them. Myers have been consistently there week after week, winning and in the top five, looking good for a championship at the Madhouse. All right, let me start my bitch session here. July 17th. Moved yesterday. NBC really took over the reins of NASCAR right after the July 4th weekend. They had a stranglehold on Formula One and IndyCar. Now, let's start with this. NBC, I think the quality of their coverage is pretty good. Yeah, we can criticize points of it. That's fine. Fair enough. If it's constructive criticism, I'm all for that. You can complain about it if you want to, but the fact is that I think overall they do a pretty good job. Between NASCAR, the Formula One Tour, the IndyCar Series, they're giving us a lot of racing coverage, and they do a pretty good job of it across different mediums and forms of motorsports. I picked them up this weekend, and here's a couple issues I got with them, and they're big ones too. Let's talk about their schedule on Saturday. NBCSN, NBC Sports Network, had coverage of Loudoun, New Hampshire, and we talked about this with Speed Channel years ago and Fox and NASCAR and that. Here we are again. Saturday's schedule at Loudoun, New Hampshire had Xfinity qualifying, so you've got cars taking time trials for starting positions. Okay, we've got that covered. Thank you, NBCSN. Now we've got Monster Energy Cup Series practice. All right, we've got that covered as well, NBCSN. Thank you very much. Then we get, right after Cup practice is over, we've got a special. It started at 1:30 Eastern Time, NASCAR Scan All Special. That's where they combine the video from the race with the audio radio transmissions from driver to crew chief to spotter. And they ran a back-to-back special of Talladega, Kansas, and Charlotte. That took up the time block that led us to the Xfinity pre-race at 3:30. The Xfinity race went green at 4, and following that, we had the East Series race. Now, let's talk about the NBCSN telecast. Xfinity qualifying, yes, we got that on TV. Cup practice, yes, we got that out. Then we bail for the Scan special before we come back for the Xfinity series. In between was the NASCAR Whelen Modified Tour. Following the Xfinity series race was the East Series race. Neither one, the Modified nor the East Series, had live television. They were on NBCSN as a taped format and will become, be on in the coming weeks. In the meantime, we aired alternate programming instead of going live with what the network is already there. We talked about this with the Speed Channel years ago with the East Series and the Modifieds. Same track, Loudoun, New Hampshire. I know this costs money to broadcast a race. I'm not asking NBCSN to make a special trip to say, to, you know, for live coverage of, say, Riverhead, New York. And I'm not picking on Riverhead. I'm using them as an example. A special trip live coverage, you know, for a modified race on a Saturday night. My point is, why the hell are we not on live? You're already there, guys. You're there. What's the problem? What's the problem? I know you have the, you know, you're elitist leadership of NASCAR with the cup hierarchy, and you're, you know, you can't put modifieds on live. Why? I don't know. Somebody's got a bug up themselves. That I don't want to hear about the cost of airing live race. You guys are already there. You sandwiched around the modified race and the East Series race with your qualifying, with your cup, and everything else. You've got these two races that are, granted, let's call them what they are, better. That's right, better than the Cup or the Xfinity Series cars. You've got, they're better, but you've got them not on the air live, and you've got them taped and shown later. Now, don't tell me about the ratings either. I don't want to hear it. Why? Because you spent 30 years promoting the Cup Series. If you tape the modifieds and tape the E-Series, you're not promoting them. They're not on live. They're stuffed in a lousy time slot after a tape delay. But you've got your Major League, your National Touring Series on live. You've got practice on live. You've got qualifying on live. I've said this for so many years. Any real legitimate race fan, there is no way they would rather watch qualifying or practice as opposed to a real race. The modifieds and the East cars put out in real racing that were shoved and tape delayed and will be shown in the coming weeks. And you had live practice and live qualifying. I don't understand what NASCAR's thinking is, NBC's thinking is. This just does not make sense. It didn't make sense years ago. Speed finally put the modifieds on live. You know, we air banquets, we air qualifying, we air, you know, this scan special, all these radio replays, but we can't air real good racing live. You want to keep the feeder divisions down. You don't want to show them the do because the racing is better there. The drivers are better. The racing's better. The money is less. The money would be more if you gave them their due and put them on live where they are supposed to be. Don't tell me about the cost of it. You're already there. You broadcast all morning. You broadcast the afternoon. You broke away and treated the mods and the East cars like the redheaded stepchildren that they are, and you didn't give them their due. They should have been on live. I don't want to hear the cost of it, blah, blah, blah. You are already there. Put them on. There is no way. You know, the cost of this scan special, it cost you money to put that together. You're not willing to spend the money for a live race for your own division. Everything's in-house. I think you're shoving the good racing under the rug, not letting it shine where it should be. Now, that was Saturday's complaint with NBC. I didn't get that. Here's the big one. This is a bigger one that happened on Sunday. NBC, we got it, the big network, the big company, has the rights, as we just talked about, Formula One, IndyCar, and the NASCAR Cup Series, all the big stuff. Well, the Formula One race was on early Sunday morning. All right, that's over and done with. Sunday afternoon, NBC puts on the Cup race on NBCSN. It puts the IndyCar race on CNBC at the exact same time. You've got the network, you got two channels, and you put these races on exactly opposite. Toronto for the IndyCars came on at 3:30 Sunday afternoon on CNBC. The NASCAR race, the Cup Series race, was on at 3 o'clock in the afternoon on NBCSN. You're owned by the same company. NBC, what are you doing? You're slitting your own throat. You're shooting yourself in the foot. What are you doing? There was no way to talk to either the people at New Hampshire and the promoters at Toronto, the folks at IndyCar, the folks at NASCAR, within your own network. It's not like two different networks dueling, which happens all the time. The same network. The same network. CNBC and NBCSN, you're owned by the same company. You put two different cable channels on with two different races at the same time. That's insane. Somebody needs to get kicked in the rear for that or fired. It's insane. How do you do that? Why do you do that? That may, you know, on a common sense scale from 0 to 10, you're in the negative numbers on that one. The same network. I see it if it's Fox versus NBC versus, you know, some other network. I don't know, whatever. ESPN, CBS, who cares? I get that. That happens sometimes. I don't like it. I think it could have been worked out, but it happened. The same network. I'll say it again. I've said it four times. I'll say it a fifth. Same network. NBC owns it. They put on CNBC and NBCSN against each other for motorsports. Not a car race and a soccer game, but IndyCars and NASCAR. What are you, stupid? Yes, don't answer that. Don't need to. That was ridiculous. Let's jump to some happy stuff. I've complained for several minutes here. Let's jump to some happy stuff. Kyle Larson. My goodness. The downside of this, he was disqualified again. 2 weeks in a row, the guy's been disqualified from the qualifying session. Had the pole Friday at Loudoun, New Hampshire. Disqualified the rear deck lid fin, the shark fin, they call it. If you've seen, there's a shark fin that goes down the left side of the car on the left rear glass, the left rear windshield. Well, not the windshield, but the left rear glass along the left side of the deck lid. That's called the shark fin. Now, something about the fin there didn't meet the template specs. I don't know exactly what it was. But anyway, NASCAR disallowed his qualifying time. Second week in a row, Kyle Larson starts shotgun and last on the field. Second week in a row, he finishes second. They totaled up his passes. He had over 80 passed cars yesterday. The week before, he had over 90 passed cars in the last 2 weeks of quality passes that he made. Kyle Larson, race driving son of a gun that passes a lot of cars. If he ever gets his qualifying time allowed and starts where he should, man, he's going to wreck this series and win a whole lot of races. But I don't know if that stat was there 2 weeks in a row where a guy has started shotgun on the field and finished second. Maybe some of our guys on Racing Through History on Tuesday have some numbers on that, because that's a pretty neat stat of a guy that's come that far back 2 weeks in a row. Maybe it has been done. I don't know, but that's a pretty impressive stat for how fast that car is. More good news. Let's talk about Ryan Preece, who finished second on Saturday to Kyle Busch in the Xfinity Series race. Ryan Preece in Joe Gibbs Racing Equipment. We talked about him a little while ago. He's a Modified Series champion, won a lot of races. He won the All-Star Modified race on Friday at Loudoun, New Hampshire, finished second in the Tour race on Saturday. Heck of a driver, ran last year in the Xfinity Series full-time for JD Motorsports. They are a second-tier team at best, possibly a third-tier team. Ran middle of the pack. You do get laps and you do get experience, but you largely go unnoticed out there. Went back to Modifieds to win. That's what he is, a winning race car driver. Got his opportunity. He's got two races this year in Joe Gibbs Equipment in the Xfinity Series, this one, and coming up at the end of the month in Iowa as well in a standalone race. Waved the flag for Short Trackers proud. Did a great job. A lot of good short trackers out there could get the job done in a professional NASCAR series if he just was given the chance. Priest making the most of his chance. Let's talk about tough guys. How about TC, Teddy Christopher? Let's talk more about the Modifieds at Loudoun, New Hampshire. Teddy Christopher, this story did not make national headlines. It should. Was involved in a lap 14 crash. Came back out, fixed the car, finished seventh. An accomplishment on its own? Yes, there's more to the story. On that lap 14 crash, he broke his right hand. Comes in the pits, crew fixes the car, goes back out. He runs the final 86 laps in the modified race at Loudoun, New Hampshire. His right hand is broken, still finishes seventh, climbs out the car at the end of the race, then he goes to the hospital to get it taken care of. That's a racer. TC getting a job done. 59 years old, finished seventh at Loudoun, New Hampshire with a broken hand. And I want to talk about the IndyCar race here for a minute up in Toronto. Yellow flag waves in the middle of the field, and the leaders are past the entrance to pit road. It's a full course yellow. The guys further back duck into pit road when the yellow comes out. They make their pit stops, come out, catch the pace car. Pace car picks up the field. The leaders now have to pit, start in back of the guys that cut the lucky break on the yellow flag. Track positions, everything on a street course. Really sucked for Graham Rahal, Helio Castroneves, and Simon Pagenaud. They could get not back to the front. Great timing for Joseph Newgarden, Alexander Rossi, James Hinchcliffe. That was your podium. A lot of that factored into the timing of that caution flag. NASCAR was faced with this decades ago. They close pit road when caution comes out. IndyCar does not. Like old school NASCAR racing used to be, Huh? Have we had this discussion before? Yes, we have. Luck of the draw, luck of racing. Sometimes things go your way, sometimes they don't. One last pitch. Well, not a last pitch, but I haven't done this in a few weeks. Speedway Report. Here's some bumper stickers for you. Got a beer fridge in the garage? Yes, you do. There's a magnet for you. Just send us your address. The stickers and the magnet are on us. The shipping is on us. We want Speedway Report's name out there. You're connected with me through social media, Twitter, Facebook, LinkedIn, Google+, the website, anything you want. Let us know. We'll get some stickers and magnets coming your way. Everyone, in between our broadcasts, keep up on the world of auto racing with our site, SpeedwayReport.com. We've got Speedway Report TV replays, which are posted on the site. Just go to the top ribbon, click the TV button, and you can watch tonight's show as well as archived programs. We also have columns from Steve Zonger, Paul Bloffus, and me. You want some good racing reads, columns, opinions, head to SpeedwayReport.com. Big thanks to Jeff Gilder, ZRN, and Racers Reunion for the production work tonight. You can hear more from Jeff in our Racers Reunion family tomorrow, Tuesday night, 7 p.m. Eastern Time on Racing Through History. I'll bet dollars to donuts that they take on the 3 p.m. Eastern Time green flag at Loudoun, New Hampshire yesterday. And Free Pennington with Making an Impact kicks off tomorrow night, 6:30 Eastern Time here on Racers Reunion. Big thanks to everyone on the chat rooms for tuning in. Great to be part of your family. Please, in the middle of the summer here, go see a race at your local track. Your local track, they are the foundation of this entire sport. Do not let them die. They are the roots. They keep the sport going. I want to thank all of the military, past and present, for the freedoms we enjoy as Americans in our daily life, including the simple things like bench racing right here on a Monday night. Freedom is not free, and a veteran paid that bill for us. To all of the men and women who are defending freedom and watching Speedway Report, take care of yourselves and come home soon. A special salute to the teachers, school staff, firefighters, police officers, and paramedics in our own communities. They are quiet and modest heroes every single day. God bless and thank you. You have been watching Speedway Report from the shores of Lake Norman in Race City, USA, Mooresville, North Carolina, produced and broadcast by the Zeus Radio Network for Racers Reunion Radio. The fine folks at Racin' and Rockin' are taking tonight off, but we've probably got a best of coming up if you want to check out a little drag racing history later in the night as we cycle through the reruns. But you can catch Racin' and Rockin'. Be back here next week, I do believe. Please like our Facebook page, Speedway Report with Patrick Reynolds, and you can follow me on Twitter at Speedway Pat. For Jeff Gilder, I'm Patrick Reynolds. We will be back next Monday with news from Indianapolis, the NHRA Mile High Nationals, as well as short track results. Thank you all for joining us on RacersReunion.com, Facebook Live, and SpeedwayReport.com. Good night, everybody.